Welcome back
to Queens of Banter.
Queens of Banter.
Yes. What are we talking about today, Miriam?
So, we're talking about purple and orange flags. Just kidding, red flags. Red flags.
Oh, you know what? Before we get started, Naria, happy belated Ghanaian Independence Day.
Thank you.
Yes, Naria is the finest Ghanaian I know, finest quality, high quality, premium Ghanaian in the house. So happy Ghanaian Independence Day. When Niger Independence Day comes, don't forget me.
Okay, I won't forget. Can't forget. You know, as a Ghanaian, where our Independence Day is, you know, in March, makes us Pisces. And then yours is in November, makes us Scorpio.
Really spicy.
Really spicy, really. But poisonous.
Yes, Naria. What are we actually talking about today?
So we're going to be talking about the red flags in friendships and relationships.
Yes.
And in marriages. Just
it works for everything.
All the connections.
Everything we're saying about friendships can work in a relationship. Everything we're saying about a relationship works in a friendship, okay? Because your partner should be your friend.
Yes.
Naria's like, I don't know about that.
I mean, your partner should not be your only friend. That's my thing.
But a friend, yes.
A friend, yes. You should have some sort of familiarity with your partner. Yeah. Fair enough.
Facts.
But not your only friend, okay?
Yes, facts.
And you should be open to still making friends, even if you're in a relationship.
Really? I thought once you're in a relationship, you found your ultimate friend, so you stop finding other friends and you drop all the other friends to be in your ultimate friendship.
Do you know what happens to people who decide to make their partner their ultimate friend and stop making friends?
What happens?
They get abused.
Yeah.
They get abused.
Yeah.
And then their partner leaves them. Usually the person who dropped the friends, like, they're the one getting abused, and then the partner who's the abuser has all their friends. Has a bunch
crazy
of friends.
Yeah. Actually, let's get into it, because now that you said that, I just thought of, I don't know if this one is on our list, but I just thought of something. Okay.
What?
If your partner doesn't want you to be seen by any of his friends, and you don't want, or they don't, you don't want to be seen, like, you don't want to show your partner to any of your friends, What are y'all doing?
What are you hiding?
What are you hiding? Why are you hiding me? Are you hiding me from the world, or are you hiding the world from me? Okay. Which one is it? Okay.
First of all, both are crazy.
Both are crazy. Either one is mad, okay? Because, like, first of all, if I'm in a partnership with someone who I genuinely like, I want to be like, yeah, that's my boo right there, yeah. Bring them to my friends. Bring them, you know, to the people I know.
Right.
Social accountability. But if I don't like it like that, I would not do this, okay? I would not get into a relationship with someone who I don't. Why are you doing that? Well, fix your face. Why are you doing that? It's you who are doing it.
Because I haven't met one of your boyfriends before.
Really?
Yeah. So not too much, sis.
Okay, this is why, okay? I have to vet them, okay? And when I realized
they were together for a long time.
How long were... Okay. Yes. Yes, okay. I had a walking red flag.
There was something wrong in that relationship.
I was dating a red flag.
That's okay? Why she didn't have any of us meet him.
No.
Did you even meet any of his friends?
Yeah. I was surprised.
It's crazy. We wanted to meet him, and she was so anti.
Okay. One of my boyfriends in there is, why are you putting my... Okay. My exes. He was cool. We were cool. Everything was cool till it wasn't cool, because we had very different thought processes, okay? He had nasty processes. I had delicious processes.
Mm.
So I didn't want to mix the nasty with the delicious. So I let it go.
They were definitely mixing the nasty.
Don't stop her. Stop. Anyways, I am a child of... Yeah. Anyways, Naria.
Yeah.
Back to the actual reason we came here for you. Expose. You're like, this is an expose show. Today we're
going to...
I wasn't trying to expose.
I was just trying to keep it real for our audience.
Oh, yeah. It's real. It's real, real over here. It feels so real, you guys. But yes, honestly, yeah, at that time, I knew that it was not going to work. Mm-hmm. I knew it was not going to work. But, you know, the nasties were happening. So I was trying to make it work. I was trying to make it work. I'm like, this is going to work out. It was never going to work out. And, you know, when I woke up and I was like, this is not it, I left. I left like, he said something crazy. I said, okay, I understand. And I left. Never came back. Never to be seen again. Never hit him up again.
She said, alakazam, poof.
Yeah, poof. I poofed out of there because I acknowledged red flags and I left. Okay, just like you guys, if you see a white red flag, leave. Okay.
Honestly, truly, red flags are definitely worth leaving for.
I agree.
So on our list, though, I feel like a lot of the demise that happened between you and your person, it had a lot to do with, like, you know, the lack of communication between you two. Mm. I think, and that is a red flag. If you guys can't have, like, open discussions about a lot of different topics, if you're afraid to bring certain things up because you're afraid of their reaction, and you feel like just that one conversation can ruin the relationship or the friendship, then you're probably not in the right relationship or friendship.
Yes, neither of us were in the right relationship for sure. We did lack communication. Like, there were just things I didn't say because I knew his culture, and there's things that he wouldn't say because he knew my culture. And then when they were said, we were like, this is not gonna work.
Okay? Yeah, it was bad.
I just have a different view on life than he does. And mm-hmm. not a bad person. He wasn't a bad person. He was just not my person.
And that's totally fine.
That is just fine. But yes, I do agree. Lack of communication is a make or break in a relationship, honestly. Mm-hmm. Because, like, in a relationship, you should be comfortable, like, saying your mind, okay? Because mm-hmm. things, as it keeps, like, you know, accumulating, that's when it gets, like, when it does come out, it's going to pour out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, like, that's when people can say something crazy to each other. That's when people can call each other their name because you held on to all of that.
The secret animosity.
Yeah, animosity, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely have to work on that because I am one to kind of like hold tallies in my brain and then punish you.
Really?
So I feel like for me, I definitely have to just get more comfortable voicing out the things that are bothering me despite the consequences.
Yes, Naria. I think that you should definitely do that. Yeah. You should definitely do that because, like, this is the thing, okay? Like, the conversation's not had. It's not like it's going to go away, like how the feeling is going to go away. It's better to have the conversation and, you know, just see where each person's coming from, you know, because you really don't know what's in their brain. You can assume what's in their brain. You can try to figure it out. You can play a puzzle in your brain trying to figure out what's in their brain, but you really don't know what isn't, like, going on in their life.
Yeah, you
know?
You might as well just ask.
Exactly, exactly. So communication, like, this is the thing. All these red flags that we're talking about, it's not like we picked them up fresh from the garden outside. We did not. These are things we actually
experienced,
you know, and like, I know that everyone wants to be like, that person's a red flag, but I feel like everyone has their own personal red flags as well.
Yeah, you know? Nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect, but I feel like if you can figure out, like, what are things about me that, you know, can hinder a relationship, a friendship that I do not want to keep, you know, doing.
Yeah.
And once you can, like, you know, just figure out what those things are, you're able to just work on it a little bit more. Work on it. Make sure that, like, you know, this is not hindering to my next relationship, my next friendship, you know?
Right.
So definitely agree. I'm glad that.
Have you ever been in a relationship where you felt like the person was trying to control you?
Yeah.
How did it make you feel?
Nasty. I feel so dirty.
Honestly. So can you tell me, like, can you go through a scenario where you're like, ugh, I feel like this person is trying to make me, like, trying to control me.
Okay, so, like, one of my exes, like, I grew up in a Christian household.
Why is the word ex so hard for you to say? Say it with your chest.
Okay, one of my exes, okay?
Yes.
He grew up in a Muslim family. I grew up in a Christian family. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think he thought eventually I was going to convert. But I wasn't conversioning anywhere. I wasn't converting anything, you know? So, definitely a hindrance. Definitely a hindrance. Oh, yeah.
Why?
Every week is exhaustion. Is don't touch me. Don't touch me. But yes, I definitely do think that, like, it's easy. Like, I've had so many people who try to, like, you know, change or just alter my strong beliefs, okay? And, like, for me to hold something, like, strongly, like, to have a belief that's strong, it's because, like, I have done the research. I've done the research. I've lived in it. I've experienced it. Like, I would not hold something that strong unless, like,
You're convinced.
I am definitely convinced. And then, like, a lot of the times when they would try to convince me, it would just not make sense.
So, like, he would specifically ask you to convert? Like, flat out like that?
No, but he's like, it'd be down to my knees. How is the dress down to my knees short?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It was, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, but it's cool. Like, honestly, like,
to your knees or to your knees? Okay, not your ankles.
Not my ankle.
Okay.
It would be, like, right by my knee. Like, I'm like, didn't you just bump nasties with me? Okay. That's the thing, okay? Like,
it's the hypocrisy.
It's the hypocrisy. Like, if you're going to be Muslim through, if you're going to be Christian through. Like, just, but how are you practicing Quran and also effing the bees? I'm actually opening it up to you guys. If you guys have friends who are in Christianity and Islam and any of these practices that say no nasties, why are they nastying? But yes.
Yeah, I have experienced that with, like, a lot of men who claim to be Christian and then they still want to.
They still want to. I like the head movement. But yes, I feel like we got on that. We got that controlling behavior. They try it. But if you know who you are, stop it. Okay? Stop it. Like, when they try to tell you this.
All of you controlling people who are listening to this podcast right now, stop doing that. You are traumatizing your partner. You are not doing anything good. Stop trying to control your partner. Stop trying to isolate them. Stop trying to dictate what they can and can't do. If you're watching this podcast right now and anybody has ever called you controlling, stop. Repent and change your ways.
Go to the altar, please. But yeah, because, like, honestly, when it comes to the controller. I'm sorry, okay. But when it comes to the control thing, there's ways that you can bring things up where it's not in a form of, like, I am trying to manipulate you or control you. If you genuinely think that this could help your partner, bring it to them in a way that is loving. Like, the thing about it is, like, a message can be told two ways. You can tell the message in a way that is harmful and a way that is helpful, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you choose to bring it in a way that you know is harmful, then the message is going to be lost in translation, you know?
Right.
But, yes, so that one, nasty work, okay? Now, let's get to the next one.
Disrespect?
Don't disrespect me. Don't disrespect
me. At the end of the day, if I get disrespected, I'm going to disrespect you back, okay? The only way you can win in a disrespectful relationship is be disrespectful back.
And there is a tit for tat, girl, okay?
If you can't be disrespectful back, that's no fun.
Listen, okay? We boss, we boss, okay?
Make sure you always, always say something ruder back.
Yeah, you know what? That was one of the things I did like about you, Naria. You are, oh my God. Anyone can bring up something in there and there's like, and so what? And what about it? They're like, Naria, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, and? Okay. That is very much a brand for you. And I like that. I can't even lie to you. I do like that.
You're not about to intimidate me.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, period, Naria. Mm-hmm. I like that. I do feel like that has rubbed off on me, okay? I used to be the person who, like, someone says something mean and I go home and cry about it. But now.
No, they should cry in my presence. After you said that, you should cry in my presence. Yeah. After. You should rethink the things you say to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being quick with your words, bro. You're real quick with them. I like
The easiest one is to say, I know you're not talking.
Yeah.
I know you're not talking.
Yeah. And you also like, and your mother.
Your mom. Your mom. Your mama.
I don't know why I love a your mama moment so bad, but I do.
I remember I was watching Real Housewives of Potomac, and this girl had like a music video, and they were like, oh, it was giving low budget. And then she was like, your mama's low budget. Your mama's low budget.
Mama's low budget.
But she didn't know that her mother was a drug addict.
That is crazy. So I guess her mom was actually
a little low budget.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But yes, disrespectful behaviors, it's a big red flag. Okay. How are you not, like, the thing about it is just like, especially when I come to you in a place of kindness, I come to you. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Like when I come to you, like with a plate, like with kindness, I come to you with like grace, and like you're going to slap me in the face with this disrespect right now. Don't effing play with me right now.
Yeah, could you imagine somebody who told you that they loved you is also insulting you or demeaning you? That should tell you a lot about their character, and that's not going to be sustainable for like a long-term relationship. Even me and Buki, we're friends, but I respect Buki enough not to hurt her feelings or call her out her name when it's unwarranted.
Yeah, unwarranted. What would be the word?
If you do it to me first.
Okay. I try not to do that in general. But you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of like the orange peel theory. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah, like where it's like someone's partner will ask them like, hey, like, can you get me an orange? Like, yeah, I'll get you an orange. Like, okay, like, can you peel the orange for me? And the person will either be like, absolutely, I'll peel the orange for you, okay? And they'll give them the peeled orange. Or they'll be like, oh, why can't you peel the orange yourself? Like, you have hands, you got fingers, why can't you put the orange right now? So if you can't peel an orange for me when we have kids, you can't do the bare minimum, so I know you're not going to do the actual stuff I need you to do, okay?
Yeah.
So
I feel like, though, yes, the premise of that is, you know, good. The point it's making is good. But the only thing I will say is that, like, I just feel like a lot of the things that we see on social media is fake. And I just feel like sometimes people do, like, stage, like, viral moments with their partners to get those clicks and engagements. I think that's what it is. Like, sometimes I don't take it too seriously, but I know there's somebody out there who has experience asking their partner for something small, and they make them feel like you're asking them for, like, the world.
Yeah, I agree. And some of them are probably staged, but the premise doesn't ever validity. Because, like, it's just the fact that, like, especially in a relationship, or even in a friendship, like, it's still a partnership in general. And like, if I can ask you like just for something simple for me, there's very little that someone can ask me, like something real simple. Like if my friend's like, hey, can you get the remote, and I'm already standing up, I'm gonna get the remote because I'm standing up, you know. But like bare minimum stuff, if you can't do it then you're not gonna do it later. And stop trying to change people, okay? Whoever they presented to you, that's who they are.
Yeah. And a lot of the times there's this bait and switch that happens in relationships where somebody will be really, really good to you in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Then you fall for that version of them.
Yeah.
Then they switch up and they start doing stupid stuff that you never anticipated them doing.
Yeah.
But because there was a large chunk of the relationship where they were super good to you, you hold on to that version of them. Mm. And then that makes you like, just allow the bad stuff because you feel like the old person is who they are, but actually the person that they're showing you right now is the mask slipping off.
Yeah, it is a mask slipping off. And I'm just really hoping that like this, everyone who are in relationships, like when you start to see the BS, why are you guys stay?
Well, a lot of the times people stay because they feel like they won't find anybody like that person again.
Good. Don't find anybody like that person again. Please. Why? They're like, I'll never find someone like Timothy. I'm like, then don't. Timothy was nasty.
Well, they don't. They're not remembering the bad stuff about Timothy. The hormones are still there. The emotions are still there.
Yes.
I'm not saying this as to like excuse like getting back with somebody who's not good for you, but I'm saying like this is the rationale as to why. And let me tell you this, like relationships are addicting. You get that dopamine hit when the person, like, makes you feel good.
Oh, okay.
And not only from, like, intimacy, but also from, like, just having somebody reliable to, like, speak to on a daily basis.
But they're
somebody
not reliable.
I'm saying that, like...
They're not reliable, though.
But that's easy for you to say. Oh. For somebody who's not in a relationship, but somebody who's been with somebody for a while, and then they, like, they start acting up, they're going to be like, okay, what can I do to make it work? Because yes, it was working at first.
I have been in a relationship scenario.
I know. I'm not saying you've never been in one, but, like, I'm speaking for the people who are in one right now.
Yes, absolutely. I understand that. But, like... I think it still translates pretty clearly, okay? Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm not in a relationship now, but I've been in a relationship where I felt all the hormones and the feelings and the stuff, okay? And I think that, like, I'm trying to become a person who, like, I am just more vigilant of mm-hmm. my emotions in general. Mm-hmm. Like, just so that, like, if something, like, if I get really sad, clock it. If I get really mad, clock it. If I'm really happy, clock it. Mm-hmm. So that, like, when I'm sad the next time, I can be like, okay, this is what worked for me last time when I was in this exact predicament. You know what I'm saying? So that, like, I'm not just controlled by, like, my emotions. Like, I can make actual, like, logical
decisions as well. That's a very good point to make. Like, you have to know when you're making logical decisions or when you're making emotional decisions. And the thing about emotions, they come and go. You may feel one way today or one way at this moment, but it's going to change, you know? So you have to don't make permanent decisions on temporary feelings, basically.
True.
So let's talk about manipulation. Manipulation is one of those things where people... It's really hard for people to realize that they're being manipulated.
Yeah.
Usually you know you're being manipulated once you tell somebody else about it, and they're like, no, they got it wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like when you're getting manipulated, you don't know, because you care so much about what this person thinks of you that you're willing to, you know, take and believe what they say and do.
True. That is
so
true.
I feel like most of the time, if you feel like something is a little weird about what somebody is requesting of you or how someone's making you feel, make sure you always go and ask somebody. Ask somebody you trust, especially. Ask them, like, hey, this is what they've been telling me. What do you think about that? That can really help you see if there's any manipulation in the interaction. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, even on our notes, we said guilt tripping, gaslighting, emotional blackmail, just to get what you want. Like, I definitely do see the fact that, like, when it comes to manipulation, it is very, like, kind of one-sided. Like, the other person doesn't know that you're trying to manipulate them, especially when you're operating in the place of emotions where they're like, this person would never do this. Don't ever say that someone can never do something because they can.
Human beings are very disappointing.
Disappointing.
They are.
I just feel like it's just the fact that, like, anyone can do just about anything. Like, physically, yeah, they can. Will they? It's still up in the air. Like, it's just the fact that, like, the more I know you, the more I can trust you. But at the same time, like, always, like, listen to, like, your own
intuition. Your gut.
Because, like, even with Miss Risa Tisa, who was blinded by this bulldozer, okay? Even with her, she could feel the intuition was literally...
Screaming at her.
She had to make whole, like, journal entries, like, video entries, just so she can remember, like, all of this information, okay?
Right.
So, like... It's just the fact that, like, when you're being, like, manipulated, you don't know that you're being manipulated. But the manipulator, if you're watching this manipulator...
Stop,
okay?
If you know you have a propensity to manipulate people, stop doing it.
Yeah.
Okay? And once you realize you're being manipulated, that's when you can kind of, like... regain your power, because a lot of the times manipulation happens easier when there's a bit of a power dynamic, and that can be subtle. It could be subtle, and just because you're partnered to a man and you happen to be a woman, so then there's a manipulative aspect to the relationship, just because of patriarchy. Men have, like, a more authoritative role in relationships than women do.
You know what? Also, just the fact that, like, because I think I talked about this on the very first podcast, where, like, There are people who will, like, you need to know your value. Know it really well. Study it for the exam, because there will be a day where you will have an exam, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where
somebody will test you.
They will test you, and they will try to tell you, like, your lesson. They're trying to lower your value so that you can be on equal playing ground, or even, like, a lower than playing them. Ground, so that they can stomp on you.
And use you.
And use you and manipulate you. Yeah. But if you can, like, tell someone, no, I'm not going to accept that because that's not who I am, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to know, like, this is not someone who I can easily play these antics with, you know?
Exactly.
So, Neri, have you ever been in a situation like that before?
Did yes, you play someone? I feel like there's been times where people have tried to manipulate me, and I feel like manipulators don't even know that they are setting out to be manipulative. They they're just selfish.
Yeah.
And then they're going about it to kind of, like, make what they want come alive. So yeah. I think for me, like, yes, I've been manipulated. People have told me that they love me and they don't. People have told me that they care about me and they don't.
Yeah.
People have just told me things that I wanted to hear just so that they could get what they want out of me. And sometimes it worked because oh, I believe those things about me. So if you believe those things about me, then okay.
Well, like, that is true.
Yes, that I am that girl. Yes. But then I realized that at the end of the day, you only said those things to get something from me. And once you got it, all of those good things you're saying about me stopped. You know?
So what do you think are, like, some signs of, like, being manipulative? Like, because I feel like it's so easy. Like, I feel like so many people are always like, I was manipulated. There's a lot of people who are like, you know, like, I'm the victim. But you never hear from the other person. Like, you never, like, have someone who's like, I was a manipulator or I was the problem, you know? It's everyone's always receiving the problem.
Yeah.
So, like, what are, like, some signs that, like, someone is being manipulative so that, like, they know?
I feel like if you know that you are trying to get something out of somebody and you cannot ask them for it directly, so you go other routes to kind of, like, persuade them into giving you things. So, like, say you're trying to get somebody to give you money, right? So you tell them a sob story, but you're not even genuinely sad about what you're telling them. You're only feeding them this story so that they can pay you. And then once the money is in, those emotions that you showed that during the sob story, you wiped your crocodile tears and you're good.
Do you know what this reminds me of, Naria?
What?
Do you remember the TJ Maxx?
Please give me money.
Oh my God, the TJ Maxx lady.
Oh my God. So, Buki and I, we are broke
We were in college. Like, we are college goers who did not have money, okay?
Bro, that had me sick.
Yeah, that did have us sick. So
I was so mad at that lady.
You want to tell the story of the TJ Maxx lady?
No, you tell it, because I'm going to get pissed off.
So me and Neri, we went to TJ Maxx, okay?
TJ Maxxy pad.
We went to Maxinistas for a little bit and just get a few things, okay?
Like the small...
The smallest things.
We had a trip. We had a trip coming up.
We had a trip coming up. So we don't have a high budget. Our budget's low. And we need to think for the trip. And we still need to be on the trip, okay? We're walking into TJ Maxx, okay? This lady, she's crying her eyes out. She's like, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, crying. She's like, I need shoes and I need a jacket. She's bawling her eyes out, okay? And me and Neria, being the kind-hearted people we are, we're like, okay.
Let's see what we can do, okay?
So we go into TJ Maxx. This lady, what brand jacket did she pick up?
She walked over to the Michael Kors section. And she said she wanted a Michael Kors jacket to keep her warm during the winter.
I was like, who doesn't even have my own Michael Kors jacket?
Not one Michael Kors item is in my closet. And you have the audacity to walk to the Michael Kors section to ask me for a jacket.
The jacket was
almost
$100 or over $100.
I said, woman, if you don't step back.
We said, ma'am, we can't afford that.
We can't do it.
So,
oh my God.
Like, okay, but we'll help you get shoes. Go to
No. Oh, yeah.
We go to the shoe section. She's over here. She's trying to get us to get the craziest expensive. We're like, this lady needs
shoes. We're like, no, we can get you a pair of socks.
And remind you, the crying, the boohoo crying that was outside. outside. It
went back into her eyeball. It went back in her eyeball.
And now she had audacity. Now she was just functioning on audacity.
All she wanted to do was to get us to buy some expensive stuff for her so that she could get the receipt, turn around and try to return
it. Yes. So we made sure we took the receipt with us, actually. Yeah. Because I think she asked for a receipt. We're like, no.
And yeah, we ended up getting her a pair of socks and a blanket.
Yes. Because, like, that was such a crazy story. But that is manipulation. That's manipulation.
Yeah. Like,
that's manipulation.
It's, yeah. Like, lying is a form of manipulation because you are stretching or bending the truth to get what you want. Whether you're lying to protect yourself or you're lying to get something or you're lying to, like, you know, save your reputation. It's all forms of manipulation.
Yes, that is true. And omitting the truth is also
manipulation. Yes. Oh my God. The truth omitters. So you're giving me half the information and you want me to operate on half the information because you have a goal in mind, because you have an agenda.
Yeah. They always do.
You can take your half truths and go to hell. Go straight to hell. Cause that, I hate when people try to play with my intelligence, because once I'm 2 + 2 is starting to equal 4 and it's not equaling the 17 that you told me before, we have a problem.
Houston, we have a problem. But yes, even this, like, it's the fact that at least now I feel like I was the type of person, like, growing up that, like, I would give my last, I would give my only, I would give my everything to people because I would just assume that people would reciprocate, you know, because I just remember, like, being a kid, the thing my mom would always tell me was, like, people are not who, like, people, they, like, who you want people to be, they're not you. People are not you. People do not operate how you operate, so you need to stop operating like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I mean, whatever, like, I'm just helping my friends out. Even, you remember, like, the pregnancy, like, I had a friend. I had a friend who was pregnant. She was pregnant when I was, like, a freshman in college, and, like, I would go to school, do my schoolwork, go to work, do my work, and then go watch my
As if she
kid.
Impregnated her.
As if I was the one who's pregnant, and my dad's like,
as if you impregnated the girl yourself.
And it was crazy. My dad's like, yeah, so you're the supporter of pregnancy. You're a pregnancy supporter, okay? My dad was over here just
clowning
me. He's like, if anybody gets pregnant, call Buki, because she'll support you.
She'll support you through your pregnancy.
Support you through the pregnancy. But I was the type of person who I gave everything to everyone, and I was
there's no reward
drained.
For that.
No reward for it. No reward for it. No reciprocation. And that's why, like, now where I am right now, I do hold my friendships to a standard. I hold my relationships to a standard, okay? Because I know what I'm bringing to a friendship. I know what I'm bringing to a relationship.
She brings a lot, guys.
Thank you, Naria. Thank you, guys.
The best friendship I've ever been in my life.
Thank you.
If you ever get the opportunity to be a good, close friend to Buki, you'll never lack.
Oh, thank you, Naria. Thank you. But I am selective. I'm just selective on who I can be in friendships with, because I cannot just keep pouring into people and get no reciprocation.
That's the worst.
It's the worst thing ever.
I remember in my first relationships, that was what it was like. Like, it was so unbalanced. Mm. I gave a lot. I was putting a lot of energy into the relationship. I was thinking of all the things to do together. Mm. It was so sad. It was so sad. And I'm happy that I'm at a place now where I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
It's like, show me, and then I'll do some if you do some. If you're not doing any, I won't do any.
if you boss, I boast. That's all it goes, okay? That's how it's going to have to go from now on.
Yeah.
Because even you, Naira, you are a giving person. You're a great friend. And
I'm happy to hear that.
Yes, you definitely are, Naira. And, like, honestly, Naira has really helped me to be effing for real sometimes, okay?
We've had so many conversations. I'm like, look at me right now. Are you being serious?
Why are you doing this right now? Why are you doing this? I'm like, I want them to like me.
Fuck them.
Yeah, you really.
Fuck them.
Yeah, Nary do be sending me straight. She do be sending me straight.
Yeah, because ain't nobody's about to drain my friend. Period. That's for me. I'm just kidding.
Crazy. Crazy manipulation.
No. I'm just saying that, like, it was just so painful to watch. To be honest, like, I cared about you so much, and I see you sweating, crying, dragging everything, doing all these things for these randoms.
Yeah, it would be
absolute randoms. I'm like, who are these people and why are you doing that for them?
I don't know. Like, I was, do you know she what was, it is? I feel like it is low key my Christian background.
I have a Christian background.
Yeah, but I think it's the specific one that I have been into, okay? Because it's just the fact that, like, they teach you to give and give and give and give, but they think it's, like, bad for you to receive. Like, you cannot be a receiver. You have to be a giver, okay? They only celebrate givers. Jesus was a giver. Everybody was a giver, okay? Anyone who was a receiver was nasty, okay? Okay,
well, in my home, like, yes, I was raised Christian, but my mother was also a real woman. She was a real woman, and she was very serious, and she's about her business, okay?
Yeah.
She was really about her business, and you cannot play with her, okay?
Yeah.
And I learned to be like that. Like, you cannot let people use you, because they will use you until there's nothing left.
Yeah.
They'll use you to the ground. And it's not just like, oh, don't receive. It's also, do not give your last. If you don't have it, don't give. Don't go searching and trying to give it to the person, because they don't even appreciate it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you do all that, they don't even appreciate it. They're just happy that they got what they wanted and they walk away. They don't care.
Yeah. That's
they don't care. True. And it was painful to watch you go through that with several people. I'm like, hey, these people do absolutely nothing for you. Why don't you just pump the brakes a little bit? I bet you if you don't do this, they'll find somebody else to ask.
And I was like, no. I was like, no, I want to do it for everybody. I want to
help everybody. I'm like, girl, what?
Yeah, it came to a point where, like, it was impossible. Like, I really couldn't even. I had nothing else to give.
And I was like, you see?
I had nothing
else. I said, you see?
He said, hey, you feel like.
I was like, you could have had something, but you gave it all away.
I had nothing else to give, Neri. I had nothing else to give. I told you a story of how, like, when I was in college, I used to go to the African American Cultural Resource
Center. Oh, I remember this story. It was painful.
And, like, okay, a lot of people there, like, they were, some of them were cool, but, like, they were not really that close to me. Okay, I was not that close to many people over there. But I was sitting in the room, and everyone's like, I'm hungry. I'm like, I'll take care of it.
The way I would have been like, there's a vending machine over there.
Crazy, because I probably had $50 to my name.
And you said, let me go feed the 5,000. Are you Jesus?
Not only, I walked myself from the ACRC all the way to B-Dubs, bought the food, and walked myself back there, fed
and,
the
and then what did they do? They nyam it. They nyam it.
The next day, they remember my name, probably. They probably don't even remember me at that point. But I was like, if someone's in need, I'll help them. But I forgot that I'm also a person who
was in need. You're also the one in need.
Yeah. You know what? I also feel like at the time, like, my self-confidence, my, like, self-worth was so low. I just valued everyone else above myself. I did not think, like, I was.
And that's a dangerous place to be.
It's so dangerous.
It's a dangerous place to be, because the users and the manipulators and the abusers, those people will come to kill and destroy.
Yeah, they definitely.
When you are in a place where your self-esteem is so in the gutter and you are waiting on people to validate you, get ready for the worst time of your life.
Yeah.
Get ready for trauma left, right, and center. Everybody, please puff up your chest and realize that you are a human being and you deserve good things as well.
Yeah, they definitely do. It's just the fact that, like, the dynamics, like, if you can tell that you are pouring into someone, and just, like, analyze, like, what does this person pour back into me, okay? If they're not pouring anything back into you, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is coming from the ultimate people pleaser. I was top tier. I was inducted into the society of people pleasers. Okay. I was in the highest form, okay? I only had one more level to go, okay?
Yeah.
Death.
I feel like I learned the people pleasing lesson early as a child, because my mom, she was not into it. She was like, it's better for you to use other people for the other people to use you, okay?
So, like, you're going to choose the two?
If you're going to choose, if you're going to be getting used or being a user, choose being a user, okay? Because getting used leaves you with nothing. And if you're in a relationship or a friendship where you feel like the person is taking advantage of you, every resource you have, they're using it. Everything that you have, they're using it. Everything that you can offer, they're using it. You need to take a step back and realize, before this person came into my life, I was able to use my own car. Before this person came into my life, I was able to eat the food I liked. Before the person came into my life, I was actually saving money. Before I came to, this person came into my life, I was able to shop. Before this person came into my life, I had things going for me. I was heading in a certain direction. Then this person comes to my life, they're using my resources, they're using my money, they're using my time, they're using my body, and I have nothing. If you're in that situation, you need to analyze that and take a step back. Anybody who loves you, anybody who claims that they love you, they're not going to suck you dry like that.
They wouldn't ever want to see you in a position like that. I think that was the lesson that I had to learn, definitely. Like, I think, like, I was accepting the lowest forms of love. It wasn't even love. I think it was the highest form of hate. That's what I was accepting. Not the lowest form of love, the highest form of hate, okay? Because it was just the fact that, like, I knew that, like, this hurt me. I would know things were hurting me, but and I would just ignore it. I would ignore it. I'm just like, I'm crazy. Like, why did I take that personally? Why did I was Miss Risa Tisa, but in friendships, in a lot of friendships, I was Miss Risa Tisa. I did a lot. Thank you. I need this.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Like, honestly, everything had to happen the way it did for me to now be where I'm at. Because
you're still young, too, which is good.
Yes, I am still young. And, like, I never made, like, decisions that, like, all, like, you know, like, completely had me, you know, in the dumpster, can't get out. You know what I'm saying?
You never hit rock bottom.
Never hit the rockiest of bottoms. I've hit a bottom, but definitely not. There wasn't too much rock. It was like gravel. So I was still
like, it was like sand.
It was like sand. So I could still get up at the end of the day. But like, I'm glad I learned the lessons I did. I'm so glad I learned them, because without them, like, I would not be where I'm at now. I'm still able to, like, give to people and be kind, but never to my own detriment, you know? Yeah. And I'm able to analyze, like, when is this person, like, when does it feel like I'm being used? And, like, I'm able to also, like, listen to my intuition. Like, my intuition does not lie to me. Like, especially going through all the things I've been through, my intuition to me now is, like, the highest form. Like, I trust it a lot. You know?
For sure. And speaking of trust, if you can't trust somebody, why are you around them?
Why are we here?
Why are you around them?
Why are you there? Why are you there? Why, if you can't trust them, why are you there? Huh? Ask yourself that. Because you're going to sit there and you're scared in your own home? You're scared in your own relationship? Why are
you're scared in your friendship?
You're over here shaking. When you see this person, you're shaking. You're over here convulsing. And you're still there? What are you doing? What are you doing? Like, your own personal peace should be, like, one of the things that you strive for. So you're telling me this person walks in the room, or this person is staying with you, and you're over here fearing? That's crazy.
It's not funny, but it's funny the way you're saying it.
Girl, it's not funny, but, like, it's a little funny. It's a little funny, because why y'all acting like this?
I feel like people have, you know, decided to be brainwashed and believe that if I'm not in a relationship, there's something wrong with me. If I'm not connected to somebody, there's something wrong with me. And that's just not true. You should not believe that. You're okay just by yourself. You were not born in a relationship. So obviously being in a relationship is not the most important thing that could happen to you.
It's not. It's really not.
It's like, okay.
It's literally okay. And the thing about relationships is that, like, you know, our friend Bethany, shout out to Bethany, she told us about this relationship anarchy thing. I still can't tell you what that was about. Okay. But one thing I did learn from that was just the fact that, like, all your relationships should not be like, it should not be like you're in a relationship with a partner and then, like, you're in a relationship with your friend, you know, like, it cannot have, like, a big, like,
gap
in between. Like, what you are putting into your friendship should be
close
to what you're putting into your relationships
and
as
your
well.
Family.
Your family too. Like, they should be on, like, a level playing ground, okay? Because it's just the fact that, like, if you're giving it to one sector, you're gonna suffer in all the other ones, okay?
You can't put all your eggs in one basket.
You can't.
Like, you can't put all your love in one place.
Exactly. But you cannot be in, like, you cannot be in a relationship and in a friendship and you're like, I'm going to give my all to my friendship, fuck my partner, okay? Mm-hmm. And you cannot be in a partnership with someone like, I'm going to give all into this partner, fuck my friendships. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, yeah. They all matter. They all matter, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Can we talk about unresolved conflict in friendships and relationships? Have you experienced something like that?
Unresolved conflict?
Yeah.
I still have conflicts that are unresolved. I still have conflicts that are unresolved. And I'm really hoping that I see that person outside one day and we can resolve the conflict.
Physically or verbally?
Verbally. I don't need to put hands on anyone for them to feel it, okay? I don't need to put hands on nobody. I don't even need to cuss anyone out. Sometimes, you know the funniest thing? I think, I don't remember who I was talking to, but I'm like, how is it that I am reiterating your behaviors to you and you're taking it personally? Huh?
Yeah.
How am I reiterating to you exactly what you did play by play and this is a problem?
You know you did that.
You did that. Everything I'm saying, I'm telling you, you did this. I can show you facts that you did this.
And then they're getting offended.
How are you going to get offended?
How dare you tell me what I did?
Literally. Maybe your behavior was nasty, so you don't like hearing it play back, okay?
But stop.
Stop it. Stop it.
You're lucky I'm just telling you.
You're lucky I'm just telling you because if some of the people, you may meet the wrong person.
And they'll just slap you. They'll just slap you. They don't even explain anything. They'll just slap you.
You're lucky. You're lucky I don't need my hands to fight my battles, okay? I can use
Could you words. Imagine you cross somebody, they just slap you.
Like, you're over here like, and, boom. Just right on the face. I wouldn't even know what to do. I'd be confused.
There are people who will just slap the shit out of you.
I know. And there are, this is the thing, there's some things that, like, sadly, like, I've learned a lesson because, like,
Somebody
slapped the hell out of me.
Like, when I won't do it again,
okay? Like, I know, like, as a kid, like, you know, everyone's, like, parenting, I'm playing on them. Oh, I didn't have that parent, okay? I had the parents who, you know,
they would slap you a little bit.
They slap you around a little bit. You know, they jostle you around a little bit. But, like, there were things I just never repeated. I never did it again.
Yeah, because I got slapped.
I remember the feeling. I remember the feeling, you know. But
we kind of touched on this like a little bit with control, but like the boundary violations.
Yes. How about you, Naria? Have you had any boundaries that you've set up and people are just like crossing them left
constantly?
Constantly getting my boundaries violated. What are some boundaries?
I just feel like with me and men specifically, when I try to say no. No means no, for sure. And I feel like they will force you to say maybe or yes.
That's a thing.
Like, and it's so irritating. Like, what is wrong with me just saying no? Why can't you be patient, you know? Mm. And if you know, they can't be patient, then, like, the whole thing is crumbled. But I'm like, I'm saying no, like, for right now. But, like, I'm not saying no forever. Like, obviously you wanted one thing.
Yeah.
So.
If for one thing only.
Exactly. And if you're not giving it up, they're going to dip.
That's the thing. Like, I hope people out there know, like, if you have to manipulate someone saying a yes, it's a no.
Yeah.
It's a no. Okay?
It was coercion.
That's coercion. Exactly. So, like, the thing about it is just the fact that, like, let your yeses be yes, let your noes be noes. And it's hard to set that boundary.
Because there's a lot of pressure. They put so much pressure on you.
They do put a lot of pressure.
And then on top of it, you get pressure from society. Like, you don't want to come across a certain type of way. So, like, you end up, like, accepting things that you really don't want.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things I kind of want to work on. I want to work on being even stricter than I already am.
Ooh.
Because
I like that.
I just feel like my life is fine without all the extra drama and the weirdness. Like, I just can't keep going through, like, constant feelings of feeling like my self-esteem dropping, because like I was in a good place emotionally and then you do weird things to me and now my self-esteem is dropping because of how you're treating me.
That's the thing. I feel like at least like within every step of the way you can still analyze it, like, you know, like it's almost like the more you self-reflect, like whether it's on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, the reflection really helps a lot to me. Because like when you're able to reflect on like the things that like have happened to you, the circumstances, the outcomes, when you're able to see everything, it's like a mathematical equation, okay? You're going to end up with an answer at the end, yeah. Okay? So like I feel like reflection can definitely help people to understand like, where am I in this friendship, this partnership, in this relationship, whatever it is, like, just analyze a little bit, be a little bit more analytical when it comes to the people that you let share your energy, share your time, share your space, you know? So, like, I have people who, like, they're on my faith list. Like, they're people who, like, I know, like, whenever I'm around them, energy is good. Like, you know, everything flows. Everything is good. You're on my good list, Naria. You are what? On my good list.
Me?
On the safe list. Yes, you are. But I have people who, I have a medium list, too. Like, people who I'm not sure of. Like, I'm like, sometimes.
Like, you have to perform in front of them.
I have to perform a little bit. But, like, I'm like, these aren't bad people. This maybe not be, they're just not my people, per se, you know? But, like, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't have to be friends with everyone. Like,
no. Not everybody's friends with me.
Exactly. And, like, I don't need to be in a relationship with everyone. Like,
not everybody's in a relationship with me.
So, like,
it's totally fine.
And that is just A-okay. And I have people who are on my naughty list. If I see you, it's a no-go. It's a no-go
if
every
I
time.
See you in the speak, that and means I don't fuck with you.
But, yeah. Yes, like, I'm glad that you were at least able to, like, figure it out, you know, talk yourself through it, talk to me about it, talk to other people about it, you know, like,
yeah,
it's that isolation, it's when you have no one to, when it's all in your brain, it's just straight dome, dome, just bouncing around.
Two brains are always better than one.
Yes, and three brains are better than two, and four brains are better than three, well, okay, but so, make sure it's the right four brains, make sure it's the right three brains, make sure it's the right two brains, okay?
Yeah.
Don't be going anywhere and asking this anybody, okay?
Yeah. Have people you can trust enough to give you good advice.
Yeah.
Especially if you've experienced one or more of these red flags that we have discussed.
Yeah.
It's so important to be introspective when it comes to your relationships and your friendships. There are women and men right now in the psych ward because of their partner.
Yeah.
There are people in prison right now because of the type of friends that they had.
And
there
partners.
And partners that they had. Yeah. There are people right now in worse situations because of the relationships and the friendships that they had. It's so important to take everything into consideration. It's important to think deeply about your actions. And I know this is not a privilege everyone can have, but if you know you're ignoring really bad things in whatever relationship or situation or friendship that you're going through, you need to stop and take a step back. You are wasting time.
Yeah.
You could be growing as a person. You could be learning skills. You could be making more money. You could be having more time. You could be resting, but you're up. Mm-hmm. And you're allowing this person to come and destroy your life.
Yes. And that's, I'm glad that you said that because, like, I think we've already talked about this. Like, everyone has, they're multifaceted. Like, we're all multifaceted people. Mm-hmm. Okay. You are not a relationship. Okay. You are not just a reflection of your partner. You're not just a reflection of your friends. You're an individual and you have individual wants. You have individual needs. You have individual likes. You have individual hobbies. Like we are, and all of them matter. They all matter. Like you as an individual, who you are, getting to know yourself is just as important, if not more important than knowing like other people within a relationship, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I feel like we've touched on the red flags. We've talked to y'all about the red flags. So we're going to bring you a walking red flag. We're going to bring you an example of red flags being ignored, being thrown away, and people just being crazy, okay? Let's talk about Love is Blind, season six.
So, yes, Mr. Clayton.
Mr. Clayton.
Or Claymond, whatever his first
name was. Claymond is crazy. crazy. Clayamon is crazy.
I don't know what his first name was, no but idea. Clay. Oh, Clay.
Oh, Clay.
He was, I think, sometimes men do this thing where they will tell you horrible things about them flat out just so that you can make the wise decision to leave them alone because they don't want to be the dumper. They want to be the dumpy so they can constantly be a victim.
Yeah. And that was Mr. Clay, Mr. Clayson.
Like, okay. You guys have to understand when somebody is telling you something insane about who they are, they want you, they want to see it, like
your reaction,
and they want to see like how much of me can they take, like are they down for the worst of me? If they can accept the worst of me, then I can get away with murder. Okay. Murder. If somebody can come and tell you, hey girl, the only thing I want from you is your body, that's all I want. Then you give it to them. And then you give it to them.
And you're confused as to why they don't want more than just your body. They told you.
They told you just like that. They told you. Why are you confused?
Yeah.
Hear them well.
Yeah, open your ears, open your eyes, open all your orifices.
Close your legs.
Sorry, y'all.
And open your ears.
Sometimes you gotta do it. Sometimes you gotta do it because, like, and even just like when it comes to Clay, like, Clay told AD. Yes, cheating is in my capacity.
I am afraid that I'm going to cheat because my father was a cheater and his father was a cheater. And every black person I've seen on television is also a cheater. So I feel like I have that cheating gene. So if you get with me, I feel like I may cheat.
That's crazy.
And then
I'm so mad.
The ladies on Instagram, Clay's ex is like, yes, he is a cheater.
Yeah. Oh, you know what someone else is talking about? Okay. People need to learn from other people's relationships, okay? If I hear that my partner has multiple allegations of cheating within multiple people, and like they have multiple receipts of it, I'm going to put that red flag up. It's going to be in my mind.
If your partner has cheated on you, and you were even given receipts by the other person, you want to be cheated on. That's it.
If your partner's cheating on you and then you're like, it's okay, I'm gonna give him another chance. They're gonna take another chance. They're gonna use it.
Only get sneakier with the cheating.
Before you know it, they're on advanced level cheating. Okay. How many times, let's ask, how many times do you have to be cheated on for you to be like, I've had enough? Is there a level?
Some people, there's no limit.
The limit does not exist.
Some people, there is no limit to the cheating because they'll be like, oh, you know, he's taking care of, he's paying the bills. He's the father of my children. Uh-uh. If I leave him, my kids don't have a father. Mm-mm. Blah, blah, blah. If you're a cheater, you're not even a good father.
Yeah. Are you even a good partner if you're cheating?
You're not a good partner. You're not a good father. Goodbye.
Yeah. And especially with Clay's case, Clay tells AD that, yeah, my dad used to take me as a child with him to go cheat on my mother. You're taking me as a child to go cheat on my mother.
So then I can learn the cheating techniques. So then I then can take the technique of infidelity, unfaithfulness, manipulation, and use it on other women. That is what you taught me. Yes. As a small boy, when I was supposed to be learning how to tie my shoe, I was learning how to
arithmetic.
Cheat.
You should be learning arithmetic. You should be learning...
When I was supposed to learn how to add and divide fractions, I was learning how to cheat. Yeah. That is insane.
And you know what? Honestly, I really... With this show, okay, I think the nastiest part of the show, the thing that makes me convulse and vomit, is the fact that, like... They let him bring AD to the altar, say vows, say nuptials, say all that. And when they said, I do not, he said, I do not.
Yeah, because the producers told him, we'll give you an extra $2 if you do that.
Then he doesn't like her. If the producers told you, I'm going to give you more money for you to take this girl to the altar and have her in that bad dress and have her looking real crazy in that bad dress, it's crazy to me. It's so crazy to me that you even let her go through that. And you know what's even crazier? AD.
AD, why would you let that man kiss you in the mouth after he told you that he doesn't want to be your husband? You need to stop it.
Apparently they're still dating.
Sister, come on!
That's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy that this is the fact that, like, some people, like, I guess, like, because I know AD is, like, 32, okay? I guess they get to this age where they're, like, I have to accept the bare minimum. I have to accept just crazy behavior from a partner. And I actually...
Because if I don't get married before I'm 40, that means I'll turn to dust.
But how many 40-year-olds are not married and they're dust? I haven't seen one 40-year-old turn into dust. I haven't seen one 40-year-old turn into dust because they're not married, okay?
Guys, let's take marriage off the pedestal, please.
Please.
Please. I'm begging you.
Please. Please. I'm begging because this is the thing, okay?
It's just marriage, not that serious.
Like, it's a good union with the right person. With the right person. But anything less than the right person, you are signing yourself up for the worst contract ever.
You're signing yourself up for trauma. Look at Risa Tisa.
Yeah, she even told
She married him. She married Legion. She married him. For what?
She did marry him, and it's just crazy because now she's going through all of this crazy madness. She's going through all of this.
Well, she did get her pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah, she did. Apparently, they're having a documentary. Yeah.
Please take other people's stories into consideration when you're dealing with your friends and partners.
Yeah.
If people have told you, like, hey, this is what happened to me when I did that thing that you're doing right now, maybe you should take that into consideration.
Take it into consideration. Take it to heart. Because, like, especially when someone who is, like, close to you is telling you this, they're not telling you this to hurt you.
They love you and want to protect you.
They do. They definitely do. And even, like, I think it was Clay's mom who tells the dad, like, I was good to you, but you were terrible to me, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that she said it, because she even said, the mom said, like, there were so many things I did not know that this process, that going through this process, I learned. And I know what she didn't know. She did not know that he was taking that baby to the mistress's house to F him. I know she did not know that. And, like, I can't imagine being the mom
and figuring that out. And I feel like, honestly, Clay, it was a little disgusting of you to reveal that on national TV. You went and exposed family secrets just because you didn't want to marry AD. Mm-hmm. You could have just not married AD without embarrassing your mom and embarrassing your dad, embarrassing your entire family like that.
Because now your dad's a villain. I hope you know your dad's in the villain arc right now.
So when people see his face, they know that he took his young son to go cheat. Man. Yes, Daddy, you were wrong for doing that. But Clay, why did you have to tell the entire nation
that? The whole nation knows this now.
Actually, globally, because you can get Netflix from anywhere.
Facts.
So the entire world.
There's nowhere that man can go to where people won't know. Aren't you Clay's dad, the one who brought the child to the mistress and did the madness and cheated on the good woman? Isn't that you? It's you. I know it's you. I can see it.
That's insane, Clay. It was really disgusting for you to just expose people like that. Yeah. Especially, I feel the worst for the mom, because she's like, what? I couldn't imagine.
I could never imagine. And then just knowing that, like, your son had to keep that secret from you, too. Like, that is just... It's pretty sickening.
It's sick. The whole thing is sick. They shouldn't have let Clay on the show, but they will let him on the show because he's messy and he's drama.
Honestly, the bottom 5% is what they're letting on this show right now.
They're like, how messy and how nasty and how crazy are you? Okay. Get on the show.
We love it here.
Are you cheating on your wife right now? Being on the show? Get on the show. Do you have children with somebody right now? Get on the show. Do you have... a mental illness that requires pills.
Get on the show. And we're not giving you your pills either. And we're going to give you alcohol. In place of the pills, we're going to give you alcohol instead.
Okay. Do you have an alcohol problem?
Get on the show. Okay.
That's what they told us.
They're looking for the messiest of messy. So if you get on the show, know that it's because they see that you're messy, honestly.
Or just very naive and desperate.
Yes. And I hate to see this desperation to this level. And then on top of that, another thing we have to bring up, okay? What were you doing on the show, Clay? What were you doing on the show? Because this show is for people who want to be married. And then you go up there and you say, I'm not ready to be married. Why are you on the show? Why were you even on
so
the show?
So he could promote his Airbnb and just keep business and then show everybody his six pack.
Honestly, if that's see an Airbnb and I see Clay's face in it, I'm not booking it. If I ever want to ride out jet skis, I see Clay's face, I'm not booking it, okay? Because why did you go on the show and then you're like, I'm just not ready to be married? That was the purpose of the show.
Was to
that
be
was
married.
The whole purpose of the show. So
actually, yeah, that was the entire purpose of the show.
Yeah, so that was just a mad explanation. And then
you even went all the way up to the wedding. If you knew you didn't want marriage, why did you even have the wedding? God. You wasted AD's time.
You wasted her time. She was honestly so devastated. Even said it. She was like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I do so much in a relationship. I don't know what else to do. There's nothing wrong with you, AD. Body's teed.
Beautiful.
You know what
kind.
The problem is, actually, AD?
You're accepting it.
You're accepting it. You're accepting the bare minimum. That is the problem.
You need to believe people when they're telling you that they are genetic cheaters.
Yeah.
If he said he's a genetic cheater, maybe that was your sign to, like, cut him off.
Yeah, but you didn't. But you didn't, AD. And it's hard. It's really hard because I'm like, I know what she went through. That's why she is acting like this. But, like, we need to grow up, you guys. We need to act our age, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm 25 years old. I'm going to act every bit of 25 years old, okay? You're 32 years old, AD. Did you not take the experience and utilize it? Huh? You guys, are we acting our age? Ask yourself, if you're sitting here listening to this podcast, ask yourself, am I acting my age? No?
Then start acting like it.
Start acting like it.
Look up a YouTube video, how to act like a 30-year-old, and follow that guide.
Yes, there it is.
Get on WikiHow.
WikiHow.
And figure it out.
Go on ChatGPT, ask them, how do I act like a 30-year-old, and then follow the instructions.
Okay? Get a job.
Get a job.
File your taxes.
File your taxes, you guys. It's tax season. It's tax season. I don't get nothing back. They ain't give me nothing back.
Damn.
They give me nothing back. I know the government.
This country is going into the toilet.
Madness. But
yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
for
you
this.
So much. This is fun. This is fun.
We love coming and talking with each other and with y'all.
Yeah. And like, subscribe, follow, like do it
comment,
all. Do everything because
share.
Like, we're having fun. We're having fun and we want to have fun with y'all. So keep joining us for the Queens Up Banter.